Chapter 2
I don't know why I should bother, I grumbled, but I let Shay adjust the shiny bronze and brown leather pauldron strapped across my chest. It's just Gavlane.
I know you and the Asher Lord are best friends, but when such esteemed company arrives, I'll not have us looking like slobs,
my phoenix wife said primly as she continued to fuss over me. If there was such a thing as neckties in Aventolian fashion, I had no doubt she would be the type of capable wife who would know just how to tie a Windsor and probably every variation in between. With her delicate hands, she smoothed the rich fabric of the midnight purple tunic down my torso, and I smiled when she caressed my abs. "Like what you feel, love?" I teased. Then I spun her around and gathered her against me so we were both looking at each other in the mirror.
"It's true, your arms and chest have gotten stronger,"
she hummed as she trailed her fingers over my forearms I had crossed over her. When she lingered over my scar, I stiffened subconsciously and then awkwardly broke our embrace. I didn't think the brand around my arm made me self-conscious, but apparently I was more uncomfortable with it than I realized. Before I could do anything to backpedal or try to laugh it off, Shay turned around and cupped my face between her soft palms.
"If anyone knows about scars, it is I,"
she whispered, and her beautiful emerald eyes burned into mine like gas lamps as they pierced through thick London fog.
"You do not have to say anything. I understand."
My mouth fell open in a small O of profound realization. I struggled and flexed my tingling fingers. It felt like there was a traffic jam right at the intersection of my heart and my head, and it was causing my tongue to be gridlocked as I tried to articulate what was conflicting me. Shay, perfect and knowing, leaned forward and kissed me gently on the lips, and with one kiss, she eased the roiling in my head and the clenching in my gut. Her ginger lily scent filled my nose, and I brought my hands, both of them, up to tangle in her gorgeous crimson waves. I was careful when I got to the long gold and champagne-colored feathers sprouting from her crest, and I gently threaded them through two of my fingers the way she taught me. This act, I knew, was a very intimate gesture between her people, because these feathers were the most sensitive. Even though we all just had a rather steamy morning, I watched with simmering interest as her eyes dilated and her breath caught.
"Help me tie my dress,"
she said in a husky voice, as she cast an intense look at me from over her shoulder. She then swept the heavy fall of her gold and red hair over one shoulder and exposed the vulnerable expanse of her creamy back. The dress she was wearing was an ivory gown with a thigh slit all the way to her hip and bell sleeves that reached the floor. Her ensemble echoed mine with small flares of deep purple like the sashes around her hourglass waist and across the crests of her shoulders. And there, between those delicate shoulder blades, was the half-moon shape of her own scar. And as she kept eye contact with me in the mirror, I understood she really did know how I felt. As if she could read my mind, she smiled even though her eyes dewed with tears.
"I know,"
she said aloud and nodded her head.
"Now, tie my dress, husband of mine."
"As you wish, my wife," I said. And if my own voice was a little tight, neither of us mentioned the fact, as I did what she asked.
"Are you sure I'm wearing this correctly?"
Ryland's slightly whiny voice made us both turn as Zoe ushered the stable boy into our suite. The catwoman kept trying to tame his unruly hair by licking her fingers and trying to smooth down the flyaway strands just like a mama cat would, and I grinned at the comparison. Zoe, however, looked anything but motherly in the armored black corset and flowing skirt made out of a fabric that couldn't decide if it wanted to be sapphire blue or sunset purple based on the way it moved. Even though she wore a rapier and scabbard around her waist, it was clearly just for show due to the jewel-encrusted handle.
"Don't mess with it. That's exactly how it's supposed to go,"
Zoe giggled as she untwisted the strap under Ryland's left arm so the decorative pauldron on his right shoulder sat straight. "Where did we get all these clothes anyway?" I asked, as I brushed some lint off Ryland's nice silver tunic.
"When the Asher Lord bequeathed you with his favor after you saved his little daughter, there were several bolts of fine fabrics included in his payment,"
Shay said, and brought a little stool over so she could stand behind Zoe and drag a jade comb through her ebony briar of hair.
had some brought to Icarian, and Nevra got to work.
I didn't know Nevra was a seamstress.
Zoe perked up, then purred when Shay's lithe fingers quickly started braiding her hair. She really did a fantastic job, I said, when I pictured the helpful badger woman who ran Icarian Estates with a firm hand. And I grinned even broader when I looked at all of us. We all look like $1 million.
What is $1 million?
Ryland said.
Is it food? Because I'm starving.
No, it's just a phrase that means we look really nice and stylish. I winked at Zoe after Shay tied off the tail of her braid, and then I reeled my catwife in so I could nose my way along the side of her exposed neck. You smell nice, too.
Jeez, you do know I'm in the room, right, Dad?
Ryland groaned. And before any of us could really react to the fact he dropped the D-word for only the second time ever, he chuckled, rolled his eyes, and then shook his head as he walked out the door. Did he just... I jerked my thumb in the direction the mischievous kid went off in.
He's quite strategic, our island.
Zoe chuckled and looped her arm through mine.
Yes, it seems he knows just how to stop you in your tracks, doesn't it?
Shay giggled as she looped her other arm through mine. He called me Dad again, I said in a daze, as my two beautiful wives ushered me into the corridor.
Let's go see what our company wants, hmm?
Zoe suggested, and nudged my chin upward until my mouth was closed again. Yeah, I said with a grin, and led the way down to the ground floor where Rylan was waiting for us outside the parlor along with Nevra.
Oh, fabulous!
The badger woman gushed, as she sized us up from head to toe.
You all look splendid, if I do say so myself. Go on inside. Mech and his wife Dawn and wee little Mira are all taking refreshment.
Thanks, Nevra, I said, and pushed open the door to the comfortable parlor where Nada Isle's royal family were all sitting on the sofa in front of the fireplace that had been stoked to keep the chill of the rainy morning at bay.
Alex!
Mech's little doe daughter with the tawny face, fuzzy baby antlers, and white Bambi freckles slid off the lap of her dear mother, Dawn, and barreled toward me. Hey, Mears, I said, as I swung her up into my arms. Are you staying out of trouble?
Yes.
She giggled as she traced her little fingers over the buckles across my chest.
That's a lie,
Mech rumbled. And then he plucked his small child out of my arms so he could hold her high above his horned head with one hand until she laughed and squealed.
I should offer you up to the sun. Maybe the goddess will want you and all your trouble.
Oh, Daddy, no!
Mira squirmed around in her father's one-handed grip until she became too squirrely for Mech to hold on to. So he tossed her up, caught her by the back of her little dress, and then lowered her until she was just a few inches off the ground like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Then maybe the demons below the ground will want you, he thundered, and lowered Mira even more.
No!
She laughed.
Now, husband,
Dawn said as she rose regally from her seated position. Her platinum hair shimmered under the light of the glowstones, and it shifted around her bare shoulders like a flowing waterfall. She laughed as she rescued her giggling daughter from the ram lord and perched her on her hip.
Mama,
Mira said, and cuddled up in her mother's arms.
Your daughter is such a cute little thing,
Shay cooed as she wiggled her fingers in the little deer girl's direction. Mira blushed and buried her face into Dawn's neck.
It is a blessing and a curse,
Mech said, as he ruffled the little girl's hair. What brings you and your family here, Gavlane? I asked, as I sat in one of the armchairs while Shay and Zoe perched on either arm, and Rylan sat on the floor by my feet along with Mira.
Before we get straight to business, I've come first and foremost to see how you're faring,
the Ramlord said with a sincere look.
Tell me. Are you well, Alex? Truly?
Yeah, I'm well, no need to worry, I said. I have an excellent doctor.
I heard that old midgeon finally came out of her hermitage, but I never would have guessed it was due to you,
the Ramlord commented.
Why's that? I asked. Her kind tends to be the most isolated and suspicious of the foreign, he said. So much so, no one quite knows which isle they hail from.
Well, she's definitely a little out there, I agreed.
I think you have my brother to thank for that,
Shay said with a fond smile.
They haven't said, but I'm pretty sure the madam patched him up a time or two when he was doing the bidding of the mercenary clans.
They did seem quite familiar when he was here recovering from his injury, I said.
Speaking of Horace, the Ram Lord sighed, I have been looking into the matter of the case the Council has built against him. The entire battle hall saw him fire a second arrow into Arcus Dola's face, so there is not much I can do on my end, even though I am the Asher Lord. The Council takes the duelist rules very seriously, and interference automatically carries the punishment of death.
That's not an option, I said, and clutched Shay's hand when she inhaled sharply at Mech's words. What else have you got for me, Gavlane?
I knew I liked you, Alex, my friend.
The Ramlord chuckled and shook his brown, shaggy head.
You have a tenacity few are born with, and those who do usually take a lifetime to master it.
Thank you, I think. I rubbed the back of my neck as a puzzled grin lifted the corners of my mouth.
Yes, well, I knew you wouldn't take that for an answer, so I looked up the laws. And as long as we can prove your bolt was the one that killed him, it doesn't matter if Horace interfered, Mech said.
Let's make that plan number one, I said aloud, and mentally moved Jenner's idea about forfeiting Doler's estate to the Council to the back burner. Because fuck those guys. Why should we have to kowtow to a board of vaguely menacing government entities? It didn't even matter that I didn't want Doler's estate. It was the principle.
While you were recovering, I sent word to Alem's capital for a pair of mages who would be able to prove Horace's innocence, Mech said,
and he pulled a folded packet of official-looking papers out of his crimson and gold robes.
Those basically state in a very boring way how my request to have a mage review your claim was approved, and the Council is stalled indefinitely until the mage makes their report.
You said mages earlier, I pointed out.
Ah, the horned man chuckled again. Well, it just so happens I have two sisters who are in the Elemic Order, and they both work as a single unit, so it is them I have called upon.
How?
Zoe asked, as her ears perked forward and her beautifully blue eyes sparkled with that curiosity that I loved.
They can prove Horace only killed Dola magically and not physically, especially since it's been confirmed Arcus's hand was made from enchanted omite marble, he explained. The duelist laws don't specify if the death is magical or physical, so even if Horace's arrow did break the core where his magical spirit resided, it was your bolt that pierced him first and probably your bolt that killed him.
Oh, wow, Gavlane, you didn't have to go through all the trouble, I said, as I realized just how far his good opinion of me went.
It was no trouble, he said, and waved away my concern with one large hand. I have been wanting to see my little sisters for quite some time, and it will be good to have them in for the tithing ceremony.
Which brings us to the other reason why we're here,
Dawn said, as she got elegantly to her feet. Then she went over to one of the windows and pulled open the drapes, and a shaft of golden afternoon sunlight poured in.
Oh, it's stopped raining, and mid-epoch is almost upon us.
Indeed, wife, the Ram Lord said. The tithing ceremony is in 5 days, and there is much you must prepare for.
Oh, I almost forgot about the ceremony, I admitted. What do I have to do?
The body must be prepared in order to withstand the trials required of it,
the dear woman said as she tipped her head. A chiming sounded as the crystals strung between her antlers moved with her head motion, and her luminous eyes flashed like the silver moon as she pulled a crystal crescent pendant out from the keyhole in her haltered dress.
Could I die?
I arched my eyebrows.
From blood loss and exhaustion, yes,
Dawn says, and nodded her ornamented head.
That is, of course, if you don't boil to death in the waters of the pool first.
Say what now? I deadpanned.
Dawny, don't scare the lad.
Mech rumbled out another laugh.
The getting him to not boil to death is the easy part.
Yeah, you might think this is encouraging, but literally no sentence with the words boil to death included is comforting, I said.
Forgive me. Not all are used to Elemic humor,
Dawn said with a dip of her regal head.
My husband is correct. The easiest part of the whole event is the blessing, which is best performed 5 days before an Asher's first tithing ceremony, so the skin has a chance to recover.
Seriously, what is going to happen to me? I asked.
Darling, you're doing it again, Mech said.
Forgive me, Alex. You are too fun to tease.
The dear woman smiled and came over so she could fondly pat me on the cheek.
No more jokes, I promise. Let me explain. The sacred pools are acidic and can only be tolerated if an Asher has been blessed by an Alemic acolyte. That is the reason for my presence and the request for your whole family to be present. The blessing day is usually one of celebration, and the protections become stronger the more people there are to surround you. There is a natural spring located nearby I can bless that will work for our purposes, but we must head there now before the sun passes its midpoint.
Why don't we just use the pools we have in the garden?
Ryland piped up in his super helpful voice. And all at once the room became dead silent as all of the adults present realized what he'd just said. Tithe pools used to be on every Asher's property in the Sun Chapel, usually located somewhere on a large estate. But according to some stupid reason by the vaguely menacing government entities, all of the pools were removed so the council could tighten their control over the people of Aventol. Apparently, each individual duelist used to provide and distribute the crucial gray pebbles that made the briny and bitter water of the land potable enough to drink. But then the council stepped in, and it became illegal to own them. Like, super illegal. Illegal enough that ugly-ass vulture fuck Gordo was actively blackmailing the dude who owned this place before I killed him.
Are you saying there are original tithe pools located at this estate?
Dawn's clear voice cut through the thick silence like a shard of glass through a silk sheet.
Yeah, just in the stone garden by the pretty murals with Mercedes and the stonefish.
Ryland continued obliviously as he focused on rolling a sparkly blue ball back and forth with Mira. He was too preoccupied with entertaining the little girl and doing an excellent job of keeping her out of trouble, so I wasn't even mad he had let the cat out of the bag like that. Hey, Gavlain, so there is something I've been meaning to tell you, and I really hope you're cool with it, I said with a shrug.
Ha!
The Ramlord threw his shaggy head back and barked out a laugh.
Was I not supposed to say that?
Ryland asked, as he looked around the room at the laughing lord and all of our stunned faces.
Well,
Zoe started.
You see, darling,
Shay said with a wince.
No, lad, Mech said once he caught his breath. Never be ashamed of your honesty. As for the rest of you, relax. I've known about the tithe pools on this estate. Who do you think helped old Kel move them from the chapel in the first place?
Really? I asked in surprise. Why did you move them again?
Kel's late wife, the Lady Jera, loved them so much she had them set up in her own private garden for her to admire any time she liked, he said with a dreamy sigh.
And you just couldn't help but to give the crazy old man his wish,
the dear woman said with a smirk at her husband.
He loved her so much.
The formidable badass of the island cooed as he pressed a palm to one cheek.
So tragic.
You're a big fat romantic, you know that, right? I snorted.
So we're not in trouble?
Ryland asked in a voice that cracked with anxiety.
No, lad,
Mech said, and came over so he could pat him on the shoulder and take a sleepy Mira from where she had crawled into Ryland's lap.
It's not like you had a choice in keeping the pools, so why should you be responsible? As far as I'm concerned, the council removed the pools from the Sun Chapel just like all the rest 25 seasons ago.
Oh, excellent,
Dawn said, as she helped me to my feet.
The natural pools, if they are intact, will imbue your blood with even more power to withstand the ceremony.
The ceremony sounds like it's really challenging,
Ryland said, and stood up next to me as well.
It is more of an exercise in mental fortitude, Mech explained. When all of the duelists stand inside the pool, the waters become harmless, but the ashes must maintain their focused state. This is not as easy as it seems, mostly due to the fact that Alex will be required to hold a stone shield over his head for the duration.
Not to mention, you will be losing a continuous stream of blood in order to make the tithes,
Dawn said, and retrieved a handful of some type of herb from the leather pouch slung low on her waist. She then sprinkled some of the herbs into a teacup, picked up the teapot sitting on the small glass table, and poured the rest of the steaming liquid over the cup's contents.
I will leave this for you, but you must drink this every day so your blood becomes stronger and you will not collapse from the loss when the time comes.
Thank you, I said, as I took the cup from her and sipped at tea that tasted a little like peppermint.
I'll make sure he gets his tea every day,
Zoe said, and tucked the packet of herbs Dawn handed her into her corset for safekeeping. Why do I have to hold the shield thing? I asked as I finished my tea. I understand the focus part because having everyone die when they just want to go swimming is not my idea of a good pool party.
The shield is an ancient tradition that started back from the first tithing,
the dear woman said.
Come, let us all walk and talk. My husband will tell us of the tale as only he can.
Everyone stood then and followed Mech's wife as she led our entourage through the manor as if she knew where she was going. Which, considering her eyes were still faintly glowing silver, maybe she did.
Long ago, after the demon tide was over, the Ashes tried to begin anew, and the goddess gave her final blessing in the form of a test.
Mech's voice rumbled low like distant thunder, and his cadence took on a storytelling quality to it. His daughter Mira cuddled against her father's chest as if this was a routine of theirs, which it probably was since I was pretty sure he was the type to tuck her into bed at night. She was definitely a lucky little girl because Mech's entrancing voice thrummed through the air and held his audience completely captive.
The people needed a way to live inland so they could take refuge in the mountains and valleys of Aventol while the seas recovered from the scourge, the Ramlord continued, as we all headed for the back stairs that led up to the garden in the northern courtyard. They knew the streams and rivers were a reminder of how Mercedes sacrificed her heart to provide the lands with our glorious sun. But they needed a way to live off her waters. So, one night, the goddess appeared to her Asher children in the form of a sacred fish and led them to their destiny.
Tell them about the perilous journey, Papa,
Mira perked up.
Yes, of course, daughter, Mech chuckled. Every quest to prove your worth involves a daring and perilous journey. The first obstacle was avoiding the eye of the jealous moon. So the goddess fashioned shields made out of stone for them to hold above their heads at night. The shields made them invisible, and even when the moon turned red, he could not see a threat and therefore did not send the scourge after our heroes.
That is why you must hold the stone shield above you as a symbol of your determination,
Dawn added as we approached the humble stone garden overgrown with ivy. On either side of the garden were two murals, and next to each mural were matching pools about 6 feet across with the statue of a fish frozen mid-leap as it jumped out of the water. I see, I said, as we all gathered around the eastern pool. So because of the shields, the Ashers made it unharmed to the sacred spring, right?
Not quite,
Zoe piped up, and I smiled fondly at the sight of her perked ears and swishing tail.
The heroes were captured, weren't they?
That is correct, m'lady, Mech said. They were hidden from the moon by the goddess's shields, but they were not hidden from the moon's first children.
Who were they? I asked.
Monsters that used to live on this land before the moon created the demon scourge,
Shay said in a solemn tone.
Indeed.
The Ramlord nodded his horned head and then set his daughter down on the ground so he could take off her little leather shoes.
The monsters captured the Ashes because the shields did not block their scent, and they were hunted. Their ankles were bound with iron cuffs that cut into their flesh, and they were forced to march through the wandering forests of West Alem to the twisting caves underground.
How did they get out?
Rylan asked in an awestruck voice, and I was glad I wasn't the only one who was apparently hearing this story for the first time, because I was eating it up just as much as he was.
They beseeched the goddess once more for a miracle, and she asked them if they were still willing to do what was necessary to provide for their people,
Mech went on, and then started taking off his wife's gladiator-like sandals and set them next to Mira's.
She asked them if they would be brave enough to sacrifice their blood when the time came, and she opened a gateway of fire that only the people with her blood could pass through.
Right under the monster's noses, right, Papa?
Mira's sweet voice chirped.
Indeed, little sprite,
he said, and swung the little girl up to sit on his shoulders.
The brave Ashes found their way out of the darkness and finally made their way to the spring where the goddess gave one the power to bless the waters of the spring.
Mech gestured with his large hand at Dawn, who lifted her silver gaze to the sky.
Because the spring was full of water that hurt it if you touched it, and so the one hero who was like Mama had to make it okay.
The small girl said as we all watched the deer woman step into the pool of knee-deep water. Her russet-colored dress floated out around her legs like a lily pad, and her hands were folded against her heart as if in prayer. The surface of the pool flashed like a bright silver coin, and a small trickle of water suddenly spouted from the lips of the sacred fish statue.
Yay!
Mira clapped her hands and dipped her toes into the water as a dense mist rose out of the pool like dry ice and began to creep along the ground. Dawn then walked out of the pool as if she was still in a trance of some sort and headed for the other pool on the other side of the stone path that ran down the center of the garden.
After the ancient spring was prepared, the goddess told the ashes the time had come to prove their worth, Lord Mech continued on with his tale, when we joined Dawn over by the other pool. She explained the blood they spilled would be transformed due to their sacrifice, and from that point on, Asher blood could be used to make the pebbles we use to purify our waters.
But there was one final test, which was a test of the mind,
Dawn said, as she ushered Mira away to go play, and Rylan took that as his cue as well, and went off to help entertain the mischievous deer girl.
Alex, come into the water.
I kicked off my boots and waded out into the pool as she requested.
Just like the ashes who came before you, you will be asked to give all you are for the goodness of the people who rely on your protection, Mech said,
and he must have been using his voice, because the very air felt supercharged when he spoke.
Do you accept this edict?
I do, I said solemnly, as Dawn's hands came down to rest on my shoulders.
Good,
the Ramlord said, and took off his own boots so he could wade in the water with us.
Remember the conviction you feel when you are asked this question again. If you do not feel as strongly as you do now by looking at the faces of your loved ones, you run the risk of dying, or going mad as some of the ashes did when they stood in the ancient spring.
Noted, I said, and I glanced at each of my radiant wives standing on the edge of the pool as Dawn's ethereal light enveloped me. I felt a warming sensation spread all the way down to my toes, and I smiled lightly at the effervescent tingles at the base of my spine.
You are now primed for the ceremony, my son, the Ramlord declared,
and clapped me on the back with his baseball mitt of a hand.
I have already taken the liberty of leaving your ceremonial shield with one of your farmhands for you to practice in the coming days.
Oh, good, it's probably in the barn. Thank you, I said, as the three of us walked out of the water that was now no longer smoking in that mysterious dry ice way.
You must practice every day along with your meditation, he said,
and shook his feet free of water one foot at a time.
I hope by now you have realized the necessity of meditation and are diligent in your discipline thus.
Yeah, I definitely found out the hard way why meditation is important, I said, as I briefly recalled the weird fevers and freaky shadow world I accidentally fell into while dreaming one time. I've been better at it, I promise.
Good,
Mech rumbled, and I felt a spike of pride at the look on his face. Before we could discuss the coming events even further, Mira came running around the corner with tears in her big doe eyes.
Help!
She wailed and threw herself into her father's arms.
It's Rylan! A monster has him!